worship band. They always do such a wonderful job. And by the way, we do welcome back Brent, who has been away with his family. We're so glad that he is back with us. And we certainly want to keep Mark on the acoustic guitar in our prayers. He's going to an interesting camp. It's called Guitar Camp. And I'm sure his wife, Maria, will have him all ready to go to camp. And last year, he took some lessons by Kathy Matea. And matter of fact, they became friends and came back and really excited about that. The scripture that we have today is from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse. Always be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We've been in a series called The Five Marks of Mercy. The number one characteristic of God in the Bible is mercy. It's not wrath or anger. It's mercy. And if mercy is the number one characteristic of God in the Bible, then it should be the number one characteristic about us. That we're known for our mercy. That we are people of mercy. That we practice it. But what does it look like? Well, very simply, mercy is love in action. And we talked about the different marks so far. Mercy forgives the fallen. Mercy helps the hurting. Mercy is patient with difficult people. Mercy is kind to enemies. And today, it's all about mercy cares for the lost. And this is really about caring for people who have yet to come to experience the goodness and the grace of God revealed to us in Jesus Christ. This is about evangelism. Now, I'm aware that any time I say the word evangelism, that it's packed with a layer of all kinds of thoughts and feelings, and many times it scares people off. So I've worked on ways that I can define it that should be simple, that should help us to understand it, and to, most of all, encourage all of us to be a part of it. What is evangelism? Evangelism is about loving people enough to tell them about Jesus. It's about sharing the good news of Jesus in the same way that someone shared it with us. It's simply about giving the reason for the hope that is within you. You know, sometimes people may say, hey, I want to know, why do you live the way that you do? And hopefully we're living in an exemplary way. Be ready always to give the reason for that hope that is within you. Evangelism is about caring about what mattered most to Jesus. And what did he care about the most? Jesus just cared about people. He cared about all people, especially the people who needed most to know about God's love. And for that, Jesus was criticized. Look what he's doing. This man couldn't be righteous. He's over there eating and fellowshipping with tax collectors and sinners. But why was he over there? You know, in the 19th chapter of Luke, I love that story where he was coming into town and everybody was gathering around him. But, you know, Jesus can catch things that we don't catch. And everybody was in the crowd looking for Jesus. But Jesus looked up and saw in a sycamore tree a little tiny man sitting up there on a limb. And he invited that man to come down. And that man's name was Zacchaeus. And he was a tax collector. And he said, Zacchaeus, I'm going home with you today to your house. And lo and behold, Jesus went to the house of Zacchaeus. And there they talked, shared a meal. And Jesus' presence was so loving that it had a transforming effect upon Zacchaeus. And he realized that he had cheated people. And his response was, repent. And Jesus assured him of forgiveness. And the fruit of his repentance was he was going to pay back fourfold anything that he took from others. And Jesus had certainly a big smile upon his face when he said, "Zacchaeus, do you realize that salvation has come to your house today?" And of course, he was criticized for that. But what did he say? Right there in Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter. "The Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." Yep. That's what Jesus did. That was his mission. And now Jesus has given that mission to us. In John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, verse 18, he's praying. It's the high priestly prayer. Jesus is praying to God. And he's saying, "You know, I have fulfilled the mission that you have given me, Father. The same one that I now give to my disciples in the world." If you ever think about God's plan to reach the world with the good news of Jesus, look around. It's us. That's our mission. You know, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, it was all about come and see. Come and see. But towards the end, as he discipled his disciples, it was all about go and tell. Go and tell. And that's what evangelism is. Now, very succinctly, I want to lift up five principles that can guide us in our sharing the faith. In the way that we share Christ with others. Just five simple principles that if you'll keep in mind, they're practical. They will enable you to see how, hey, you know what? We all can do this. We all can play a part in this. The first principle is very simply the principle of compassion. You see, nothing ever happens without, first of all, compassion. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And loving people and being compassionate for people opens the door for you to share. People are ready to listen. Love opens that door. So what do we need to be doing these days? We need to be looking around to see where the needs are. We need to be practical. Has anybody moved into our neighborhood recently? Do we know anybody who's hurting? Do we know persons who have expressed recently to us fears or worries or guilt or shame? Have we encountered anyone who had a certain sense of emptiness in their life? Or perhaps someone who had a hunger in their life for something more? We need to be looking around for these people, and we need to express compassion and love and empathy. That's the first principle, because it will open up the door. Now, you know what that means, though, don't you? It means we got to go beyond the church. We got to be where those people are. Now, there is a scripture that goes along with this. And it's very simply from Romans chapter 15, verse 2. "We should all be concerned about our neighbors and the good things that will build their faith." Now, I want to tell you this story because I'll never forget the time it was shared with me. I was a part of a men's prayer breakfast that met at the Terminal Hotel down in Hamlet, North Carolina, every Saturday morning. And there would be a devotion. And we'd have 60 or 70 men there. It was interdenominational. And we'd have a devotion, and from time to time, someone would bring up a need. And Earl Covington in our church, Earl was all about Jesus. Now, some people said he was a little too over the top about Jesus. But he was about Jesus. And he had a hardware store, and he stood up one time and says, "I think we need to take up an offering." There was a family that came into the hardware store and said that they didn't even have a refrigerator, and they needed a refrigerator. And he said, "Well, I'll be glad to sell you one." They saw the price, and they said, "Oh, we can't buy a refrigerator." And he said it bothered him. So he said, "I want us to take up a collection to get this family a refrigerator." Do you know, he told us the amount we needed. We all chipped in, and when they counted it, it was the exact amount. And so I said, "Well, aren't you glad that I put mine in?" There were other people thinking the same thing. So what happened was they delivered the refrigerator, okay? And then later on, Earl was at the hardware store, and there was a call that came in, and he answered it, and it was that family, and they said, our refrigerator doesn't work. He said, what? So Earl went back and took some people with him, and they found out the reason the refrigerator wasn't working was that they didn't have any electricity. They didn't have a way to plug the refrigerator up. And Earl was moved right then to say, we're going to get them electricity. And the family began to say things like, well, you know, why are you doing this? You know, we can't afford the refrigerator, and you give us the refrigerator, and now we find out you're going to hook our electricity back up again, and why are you doing all this? And Earl knew that door had been opened, and he says, because this is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And one of the little children looked up at his dad and said, Dad, who is Jesus? And he was wearing a little Superman shirt. And Earl came back and shared with us that he met a little boy who knew who Superman was, but he didn't know who Jesus was. And that's why we do what we do, because there are a lot of children out there who don't know who Jesus is. And you see, people may have said that Earl was over the top, but aren't we glad that there are some people who are just simply that way? Because we'll never reach the people that need to be reached unless we take the effort to care. And so I tell that story to you because that's wrapped up in principle number one about compassion. And the second principle is this: cooperation. Here's the good news. You don't have to do evangelism by yourself. You can do it with your Sunday school class. You can do it with your small group. We do it all together as a church, but it's a little bit too big for all of us to go somewhere, do something all together. But we can do it with other people. Now, I love that story where this paralyzed man had four friends. And they cared so much about this paralyzed buddy of theirs, they wanted him to be healed. And they knew that Jesus could do it. But they needed to get this friend of theirs to Jesus. And so all four men pitched in, placed the man on a mat, picked him up, took him to the house to see Jesus. They did it as a group. Now, one man probably couldn't have done that, but four men did that. You can do it together. How do we bring people to Jesus? We can do it as a group. You know, there was a time when there was a lot of jealousy going on in the early church, and people were saying, well, who do you follow? Well, I follow Paul. Who do you follow? Well, I follow Apollos. And they were arguing about the super apostles and blah, 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 blah. And Paul just had enough of it in his letter to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, verses 5 through 8. He goes, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? Paul merely plants a seed. Apollos comes and waters the seed, but God gives the growth. It is neither Apollos nor Paul that matters, but God who gives the growth. We each are partners together in this ministry. And it's not about who gets the credit. It's rather about who gets the glory. So, cooperation. We don't have to do it alone. You know, I told you several weeks ago, I believe, about the story at Saddleback where a group of men got together. They bought season tickets to the some football team, and they got extra ones so each week they could bring a different man. And when they would do that, they'd go have a good time at the game. And then coming back, they said, hey, Tom, you have a good time? We enjoyed having you. I said, boy, this was great. Thanks for the tickets. He said, you know what? We also hang out on Thursday night at Harry's place. We have a little Bible study. We'd be glad to have you there sometime. And so who knows? Sometimes these people show up, and when they showed up, they loved up on them, and they got a little glimpse of what these men's lives were like. And Rick Warren said, over 20 couples came to know Jesus Christ and joined the church because of that group of men who bought extra tickets to the football game and did something together. It's amazing. The third principle is this: faith. Faith. Believing that Jesus is able to reach anyone, that Jesus is able to redeem anyone, that Jesus is able to transform lives. believing. And you see, in the book of Hebrews, in the epistle of Hebrews, it tells us that Jesus is able to save all those who come to God through him. It's from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Going back to the story of the four friends who took their paralyzed buddy to see Jesus, well, you know, they dropped him through the roof, through the hole in the roof, because there were so many people there. And they lowered him down on the mat, and Jesus saw the man, and then he saw his friends, and he said, "Because I have seen their faith, I now say to you, your sins are forgiven. Pick up your mat and walk." When Jesus saw their faith, you see, we need to be able to say, God doesn't give up on anyone. God can save anyone. We merely bring them to Jesus. He is able to do the work. You know, St. Augustine's mother, Monica, prayed for her son all her life. And many people said it was no use. And he went and he did some interesting things. If anyone was lost, it was St. Augustine. Did I say saint? Yes, saint. He became a saint. Because his mother had faith, and Augustine came to experience the love of God in Christ Jesus. And he is one of the most remarkable witnesses in Christian history. Now, the next principle is action. We can pray, but we need to take action. Taking action means, like the parable that Jesus told, go out into the highways and byways, to the hedgeways, and invite people, urge people and invite people to come in and to fill the house. Take action. Invite people. Do something. Taking action is so very important. Look for opportunities to share. The fifth principle is persistence. Don't give up. So we've had compassion, cooperation, faith, action, and now the last one, persistence. So very important, persistence. This is a true story that Andy Stanley tells about a youth in his church, belonged to the youth group. And at the beginning of his senior year, he told Pastor Stanley, "I'm going to witness to everyone in the senior class this year. I'm going to witness about Jesus to every single person there in the class." And he said, "That's your goal. That's your vision." He said, "That's it." And so he would, in his own way, find ways that he could reach out to people in his senior class. And he would tell his pastor how it was going. And throughout the year, he didn't feel as if anything really was resulting in any fruit or anything. But he kept doing it. And matter of fact, he was wondering at one time, should he continue to do this? Because, you know, sometimes he was laughed at. Sometimes he was ridiculed. It's like that sometimes. Even when you try to do something good, you encounter opposition. But he persisted, and lo and behold, he was surprised. He went to his graduation, and the valedictorian wanted to give a talk that particular day. And the valedictorian, the one who everybody looked up to in the senior class, had it all. Had the good looks, had the grades, had the athleticism, had everything. And so this person's standing up to give the talk. And when he stands up, he opens by saying, "Classmates, I first of all want to share something good that happened to me. Because I would not be standing here today if this person had not shared about Jesus with me. I was deeply depressed. I was wondering, can I just keep trying to be perfect? And can I just keep pushing on and trying to live up to this and live up to that?" And I was feeling so bad that he saw me one day and, and said, look, I don't know what's troubling you, but I know there's somebody who cares about it. I'd like to listen to you, share your what's going on. And he listened, and then he said, I believe that there is someone who can help you, that you can make it, that you can let go of these things. You do not have to continue like this anymore. You can be free. It's Jesus did that for me. And Jesus can do that for you. The valedictorian said, I went home. And I thought about what he said. And that night, I opened my heart and I said, Jesus, as much as I understand who you are, please come and do what you'd say you're going to do. And he did. And so the fellow was telling Andy Stanley about that. And Andy said, do you just realize that you fulfilled your goal? You witnessed to the whole senior class because that one person that came to know Christ stood up and told everybody else in the class about Christ. Don't ever give up. Be persistent. Well, what's the application here? Those are the five principles. It's time now to say, so what? What do we do this week? How can we apply this message? Well, it's two-pronged. The first thing I want you to do is take some time to think a little bit. Look into your heart. And I want you to say something like this. Why do I do what I do when I share about Jesus? Is there a reason? And I want you to think about what Jesus has meant to you, what you have experienced, why you know that this is real for you. And I want you to get in touch with that joy. I want you to get in touch with that passion. I want you to look inside you and rediscover those stories that you have in you about the time when you opened your heart and there was a washing over of all kinds of stuff. I want you to get back in touch with the hope that is within you. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is I want you to think about, are there any persons that I know who might one day benefit from hearing my story? And write their names down and pray for the opportunity, because it'll come. And when the opportunity comes, you'll be ready. The invitation now for prayer is just simply this. We're concluding this service on mercy. And that's why we pray for God's mercy in whatever way you need it. Polly and I will pray with you. You know, one of the benedictions that I frequently give is into the chaps of your life, he pours mercy until it just overflows.